Governor Tony Evers has made health care an early focus of his administration, and it was the centerpiece alongside education in his State of the State last night. We have Morning After analysis here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Later in the hour, we'll have Senate Democratic Leader Jennifer Schilling and Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke. Did you watch Governor Evers' State of the State address? What did you think? What did you agree with? Where did you differ with the governor? 800-642-1234. Hope you join us. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is here to start us off. He's WPR News' State Capitol Bureau Chief. Hi, Sean. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So what did you make of the tone, first of all, of Governor Evers' first State of the State?
The tone is what you've heard from him elsewhere, you know, that we need to work together, we need to find bipartisan solutions, you know, just get used to him saying that quite a bit. That said, there was a little bit more, I don't know, of an aggressive tone mixed in, not only saying that he's going to do some things that Republicans disagree with, but basically him saying that the will of the people is something that Republicans need to expect, and the will of the people was reflected in his election last November.
And we have a little bit of that sound of him saying that. Let's take a listen.
You know, in the governor's conference room, inscribed on the ceiling is a phrase that reads, "The will of the people is the law of the land." The will of the people is the law of the land.
So he's not there just alluding to the lame duck session, not saying it, but perhaps there is a little bit of reference to the laws that were passed right before he came into office.
I think so. And also, you're just seeing Republicans and, you know, Democratic Governor Tony Evers feel each other out here. And in a lot of ways, Republicans are saying, we're going to do our own thing. One of the other things that Governor Evers mentioned last night was that he wants Republicans to work from his budget. So procedurally, what normally happens in Wisconsin is that a governor introduces a budget, it then goes to the legislature, and the legislature makes changes, but it all originates from the governor's budget. Sounds boring, but it is significant when Republicans talk about maybe not doing that this time and working from their own budget and sending that back to Evers. It would be the difference between one approach and the other would be just the amount of the governor's ideas that would likely be in the final product that reaches his desk.
We also heard him call it the people's budget.
This is something that he's been alluding to for a while, and when he talks about his proposal to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin, to expand Medicaid to people with slightly higher incomes so that Wisconsin can qualify for more federal funding. He said that this is something the people support. He's going to tour the state to sell that proposal in his budget because Republican leaders have already said it's a non-starter with them. But it's a pretty big piece of the governor's campaign promises, and it's a pretty big piece of a budget if he goes forward with it, because you're talking about potentially qualifying for hundreds of millions in additional federal funding, reducing this, how much the state would need to spend on Medicaid or Badger Care. And so, you know, if that's in the governor's budget, but Republicans don't agree with it, you're talking about hundreds of millions of separation between them. So it's a significant disagreement as far as the budget goes.
We are picking apart last night's State of the State address. It was 29 minutes, Governor Tony Evers' speech. Talking with Sean Johnson, he is the State Capitol Bureau Chief at WPR. And you, what do you think are the most pressing education problems in the state? Do you think Governor Evers will address these issues? Do you think Wisconsin should pull out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit? And do you think the idea of protecting people with pre-existing conditions, regardless of what happens with the ACA, is a good plan? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts to ideas@WPR.org. So, Sean, Governor Evers, former state superintendent, has the lineage of being the teacher, the principal. He campaigned as the education candidate. And so it's not really a surprise he made education a big issue in his speech. But let's first look at special education. He's proposing a $600 million increase to special education funding in the state. What sticks out to you there?
That is the number that he used on the campaign, and that's a lot of money. I mean, in terms of the state budget, that's a sizable increase. So for somebody that has made his career in education, who wants to be kind of that education governor, for him to say, here's my first budget, and here is the biggest building block I want, shows you how much importance that he's putting into it. He says he wants overall in education and the education budget to restore two-thirds state funding for K-12 education in Wisconsin. That is to have the state pick up two-thirds of the cost. That's something the state of Wisconsin has backed away from. It used to do. He also wants to do more to address the achievement gap in Wisconsin. And so he wants a five-fold increase for K-12 mental health funding. So that'd be another priority that he's talking about. Although even if you had a five-fold increase, I'm not sure that would be as large. I don't think it would be as large as the $600 million he's talking about increasing for special education.
Going back to two-thirds funding for public schools as part of his budget plan, that's something that former Governor Scott Walker had also pledged on the campaign trail. So is that something where you see Republicans and Democrats can be on the same page with?
I am not sure about that. I mean, Republicans seem to be signaling now that they don't think there's enough money to go around. You have to look at other pieces of the budget, too. If Republicans don't go along with the Evers plan to expand Medicaid, for example, and if they don't go along with his plan for an income tax cut, so he wants to cut income taxes for people that make below or up to $100,000 and families that make up to $150,000, but he wants to pay for it by scaling back, that is reducing a tax credit for manufacturers. Republicans don't want to reduce that tax credit for manufacturers. So if they don't do that, if they don't take the Medicaid funding, there's not as much money available for a sizable increase in state funding for K-12 education. And so under that scenario, the answer might be no, and that's what they're signaling right now.
So you're saying that all of these policy pieces are very much interconnected and interwoven through their funding. And as Governor Evers said yesterday, connecting the dots, he really needs to connect the dots in terms of funding so that these policies could even make it to the table.
I imagine he'll connect the dots in his own. Going to release in late February. But if that is his budget proposal and not a final budget, then, it'll be up to Republicans to kind of connect their own dots. I mean, they've already been out there saying that this is the way we should do a tax cut in Wisconsin. They held press conferences all over Wisconsin simultaneously last week to say, here's the tax cut we're going to do. It's basically what Governor Evers wants, except we're not going to decrease that tax credit for manufacturers. They've been out there more in unison lately saying we're not going to go along with the expansion of Medicaid. So you're going to hear both sides making their pitches as to why their budget plan is the better one over the next several months.
Talking about the State of the State address with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson as our guide. You are in this as well. What were your big takeaways from the speech? Where did it meet the mark? Where did it let you down? What was your reaction? Is there something reminiscent from past State of the State speeches? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute for more analysis. Maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. We're talking about takeaways from Governor Evers' 29-minute State of the State address last night. You are with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One theme we heard was education. Governor Evers announced plans to increase public school funding. What do you think are the most pressing education problems in the state? Do you think Governor Evers will address those issues. Do you think Wisconsin should pull out of the Affordable Care Act lawsuit? What resonated with you? What was left out? And who was left out? Join the conversation right now at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us. Sean, Evers mentioned the Wisconsin idea by name once in a speech and seemed to kind of nod to it throughout. Can you explain why that's significant?
When you're talking about the Wisconsin idea, it can mean different things to different people, but it often means, sharing sharing sort of the ideas of the state or the with everybody.
So going back to that people theme.
Mm-hmm. I think that would dovetail with the governor talking about taking his budget out on the road or taking that Medicaid proposal out on the road if he wants to impress upon people that this is something that helps people in every county, for example, which is something you heard the governor talk about quite a bit.
Well, let's talk about health care here. Let's take a listen. He's talking about Wisconsin's participation in a multi-state lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act.
The people of Wisconsin voted for a change this November and asked us to stop playing politics with their health care.
And so, very short clip, but what is he getting at there with Wisconsin and the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, so this is something that we did not know was going to happen going into to last night's speech. The governor had previously said that he was going to find a way to change Wisconsin's stance in a lawsuit that seeks to overturn the Affordable Care Act. So just to step back for a minute, during the campaign, Governor Evers, Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, both campaigned on ending Wisconsin's participation in this multi-state lawsuit to overturn the Affordable Care Act. This is a lawsuit that was filed in Texas. It actually, at least in the first decision in this case, did strike down the ACA, although the judge put that decision on hold, so the ACA is still the law of the land while this thing is being appealed. But this is something that the governor promised to do. And in the lame duck session of the legislature last year, the December extraordinary session, Republicans took that power away from him by law. They said that it's no longer up to the governor to just pull the state out of a lawsuit like this, that the attorney general would have to get permission from the legislature's budget committee. So the legislature's budget committee is controlled by a 12-4 Republican majority because of their large majorities in the overall legislature, meaning they would have to sign off on that under that law. So what the governor is doing here is, potentially an act of civil disobedience, saying, I'm the executive. This is my power by right. I'm going to fulfill this campaign promise. And if somebody were to sue me for this, so be it. We don't know that that's going to happen for sure because there was just a line in the governor's speech last night in a brief letter to Attorney General Call. And as of right now, I don't think we know exactly what Attorney General Call is going to do, if he's going to immediately follow the governor's direction and say, I'm done with this lawsuit, or if he would turn around and say to the legislature's budget committee, the governor's asked me to get out of this, I'm formally asking you to approve it, and then kind of put the onus on them to say yes or no.
I see. So kind of put some framework around it and go about it that way. So Evers also said he would accept Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. Walker didn't opt to expand Medicaid as governor. Is that move possible as long as Wisconsin is still part of this ACA lawsuit?
That move would be possible even if the state were part of the ACA lawsuit. There's nothing saying that just because Wisconsin is suing to overturn the Affordable Care Act that it couldn't take advantage of the increased funding made available through the ACA at the same time. There's nothing preventing the state from doing that. I think the thing preventing the state from doing that would be the opposition by Republicans who said pretty clearly last night they don't go along with that. So, you know, again, you're going to, even though Republicans have said no on that one, I think you could expect Governor Evers to, for several months, would be my guess, put pressure on them to change their minds. This is something that could, you know, result in, I think it's $280 million a year in state funding by expanding Medicaid from the poverty line right now to 133% of the federal poverty level. So, again, get used to that debate. I think you're going to hear it a lot.
So we heard lots on education last night, lots on health care, Affordable Care Act. But the State of the State included a conversation about transportation and infrastructure. Evers mentioned starting a transportation task force. No word on funding there. What do you think we should expect from Governor Evers on transportation and infrastructure?
He has said that he's open to anything. And when he's pressed on what that means, over and over and over again, he says, well, I want people to come up with what that means. I don't want it to be from the top down, the governor saying this is how it's going to be. I want both sides to work together on this and come up with some kind of a mix for funding. So to be determined on that, I mean, if the governor is going to introduce his budget on February 28th, which is the date that the legislature gave him yesterday, then you know, maybe presumably we would know by then because that's a pretty important piece of the budget. He did tell the legislature, you know, I expect you to confirm, he's speaking to the Senate here, expect you to confirm my nominee for Department of Transportation Secretary, Craig Thompson. There have been some Republican senators, though, who've expressed concerns with Thompson. Thompson led the Transportation Development Association, a group that represents road builders, among others, and there are Republican senators who have been very much at odds with the road building lobby because they don't want to do what road builders want, which is come up with some type of a gas tax or vehicle registration fee or some type of long-term funding increase for transportation. That's something that the state of Wisconsin had kind of a long history of doing up until about 2006, but finding new sources of funding has become a pretty thorny subject at the Capitol since then.
He also wants a fix to lead service pipes throughout the state. What was his proposal there?
It sounds like he's talking about creating a person who is basically their focus dealing with drinking water issues. I think he called it the year of water in Wisconsin. He wants 2019 to be the year of water, drinking water. And he's talking about issues that Wisconsin has with it, with private wells where the water is not drinkable, with homes that have lead service lines. So he's not saying let's spend billions of dollars and fix all this. He's saying I'm going to have somebody to focus on it, and you know, we'll see what that means in terms of other policy proposals. That'd be another kind of issue that would probably, you'd learn more about it in his budget.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who was sitting right behind Governor Evers, gave the Republican response to the speech. What did we hear there?
Voss's characterization of Governor Evers is that Evers is talking bipartisanship but not doing it. Again, get used to that theme because these two have been, that's been their approach so far in the few weeks that they've worked together in this kind of power dynamic. I mean, Voss is essentially the leader of Republicans in the legislature, just not only because of the large number of them that he leads in the state assembly, but because he's taken kind of a more aggressive approach than Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. One thing that Voss and the Assembly did yesterday was pass a state bill to protect people with pre-existing conditions. That would be in place if the Affordable Care Act were to go away. Initially, this state bill was short of the ACA protections in a couple areas. For example, the original bill did not include a prohibition on a lifetime cap for insurance. But the assembly added that prohibition yesterday in the bill that it passed, and it got some Democratic votes for the bill that it passed. So we don't know if that bill is going to pass the Senate, but it's, I mean, that's Speaker Voss's approach to say, well, here's my version of bipartisanship. I've come your way a little bit, and if you don't come my way now, you're the one that's standing in the way of that. That seems to be his take, at least in, you know, this early week battle.
Sean, thanks so much for the analysis.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR News' State Capitol Bureau Chief. He joined us for analysis on last night's State of the State address. Coming up next, we talk to Assembly Majority Leader Representative Jim Steinke about the Republican perspective on the State of the State. It is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Governor Tony Evers delivered his first State of the State speech last night in the Assembly chambers to the Republican-controlled legislature. We're talking about the speech, the takeaways here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Even before the inauguration, tensions were running high between the new governor and Republican lawmakers. After the State of State address, Republicans expressed disappointment in Evers setting a divisive tone. Let's bring in Representative Jim Steinke now for a reaction to the speech. He is a Republican from Kaukauna, and he's been the Assembly Majority Leader since 2015. Representative Steinke, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So what did you hear in Evers' address last night that, first of all, that you support or that you agree with?
Sure. First of all, I would just take issue with the fact that tensions were running high between us heading into the State of the State. Actually, many of us have had meetings with Governor Evers leading up to this. I think they were productive, talking about issues on which we can find some common ground. We worked with him on the pre-existing condition bill, included some of his ideas into that, which we passed on a bipartisan vote yesterday. So things I think were fairly good heading into the speech. Now, the speech itself, I was appreciative of the fact that he obviously talked about including more money for education, talked about finding a long-term transportation fix. Those are things that I think we can work together on to find common ground to move forward.
What proposals stuck out to you that you just don't see Republicans coming to the table on? Are there any no-starters in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things that were disappointing. I mean, first, you know, throughout his speech, he was talking about bipartisanship and working together and doing things the right way. And, you know, one of the first things he said out of the gate was that he was going to direct the Attorney General to withdraw from the lawsuit over the Affordable Care Act. Now, whatever your position is on the lawsuit itself or the Affordable Care Act itself, the legislature passed a law that says that the Attorney General and the governor does not have the authority to do that without the involvement of the legislature. So it was disappointing that he decided to take a political position on that and say that he was going to withdraw from the lawsuit without including the legislature, and that was disappointing.
Yeah, it was interesting. We kind of felt some tone of referencing lame duck session without hearing any words about those laws that were put in place right before he took office. Are there specific issues, you mentioned education and transportation, that you can see where compromise is possible? How would that materialize, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's going to happen in the budget. I talked to Governor Evers, had a meeting with him last week, I think it was, where I asked him if he was going to just push a transportation fix into the budget without talking to us. He promised that he was not going to do that, that he was going to include us in any discussions before his budget came out. Haven't gotten that phone call to sit down with him yet and talk about what our ideas are for a long-term transportation fix, but I'll take him to his word that that's coming. I think the budget on education and transportation, that's where those negotiations are going to happen. But I think the problematic thing is if he's building his entire budget off taking the Medicaid expansion and raising taxes. Those are two things that are going to be really difficult for us to work with going forward, because we've already made it clear that those things are things that our caucus is opposed.
We're talking with Jim Steinecke. He is a Republican state representative from the 5th Assembly District, which includes Kaukauna, and he has been the Assembly Majority Leader since 2015. You have a line in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What did you hear in the State of the State last night? What issues rose to the top for you? What didn't you hear? And what do you make of the Republican response to the speech? 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts on the State of the State to ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Representative Steinecke, Governor Evers pointed out, as you said, that Medicaid expansion has been adopted in Republican and Democratic states alike. And he mentioned some of those states in his address. Do you think it could work for Wisconsin?
Well, I think the biggest difference between those other states and Wisconsin is that those other states typically had people in poverty that were not covered by government health care. Now, that's not the case in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we adopted a unique idea under Governor Walker, where 100% of the people below the poverty line have access to Badger Care. And then people above the poverty line have access to the Affordable Care Act. So we have a little bit of a different situation. We took a different route than the rest of the country, and I think it was the right way to go.
What is your reaction to Governor Evers' proposal to allocate $600 million to special education funding?
Well, I think, like I said before, I appreciate the fact that he wants to direct more money towards education. The real trick is, where is all that money going to come from? Originally, he proposed $1.4 billion overall in new spending for K-12 education. Sounds great. I mean, we put in about $650 million in the last budget, which was historic levels of new funding for education. So this would double already historic new levels. But the problem is, where is that money going to come from? We only have $1.5 billion in new revenue going forward for the next 2 years. So that would eat up almost every single dollar of new revenue. So again, it sounds like it would mean that he's going to have to propose pretty significant tax increases in this budget to cover his spending.
Governor Evers also requested that lawmakers take up his budget rather than creating an entirely new one. Is this something that you would commit to, or is that not possible?
Like I said, it depends on how he crafts his budget. If he's crafting it with the assumptions that we're going to take the Medicaid expansion, that we're going to dramatically increase taxes, and he builds a budget off of that, it's going to be really difficult. At the end of the day, I think it's all just semantics anyway. I don't think it matters much whether we work off the governor's budget or we work off a base budget. We're going to have to sit down at the table and negotiate eventually on all these issues.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Keith joining us from Beaver Dam. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Yeah. Last time the state went to two-thirds funding for school districts, there was a great expansion of building projects because the state picked up two-thirds of the cost. So I was wondering how the governor was going to craft this so that wouldn't happen again. And the schools, of course, are for kids, but I don't think it got used wisely. Like, it sounds really good, but schools, like, wow, someone else is paying for two-thirds of a project. That's the way the money was spent.
Keith, thanks for the call. Representative Steinecke, you know, two-thirds funding is something that both Evers and Walker campaigned on.
Right. So, I mean, here's the thing that people don't realize. Two-thirds funding is a good goal. It's something we've been working to. We're actually at like 65.6% funding, so we're really close to two-thirds anyway, because the Republican legislature under Governor Walker has been moving towards that goal. So we're very close. So it's not like we're at 60% funding and we need to get to 66. We're at over 65. So it's not going to take much to close that gap. But we do have to be cognizant of spending, and that's one of the things that the legislature has been, using its oversight role in over the course of the last few years.
What are you hearing from your Republican colleagues after the State of the State?
Well, I think, you know, we were disappointed somewhat with the tone. I mean, he said some of the right things, but included a lot of things that, he knows that are non-starters with us. So that was a little disappointing. But, again, we'll continue to try to reach out and find ways that we can find common ground with the new governor, because that's our responsibility. I mean, our role is to govern. Wisconsinites chose divided government, so we have to find a way to act like adults and realize that in any negotiation, one side is going to get some of what they want, the other side is going to get some of what they want, and nobody's going to get everything that they want.
Representative Steinicke, we're watching this week especially closely all of these lawsuits emerging from the lame duck laws. There is a First Amendment Twitter lawsuit out there. What do you make of these lawsuits and the Republican response to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the thing that the public should be the most aware of is that these lawsuits continue to be filed. We get a new one virtually every day, it seems like. And it's only going to cost Wisconsin taxpayers money for really no good reason. I mean, the laws that we enacted in December were enacted by duly elected people. You know, people call it a lame duck session. The only person that was a lame duck was the governor. Everybody else was... historic majorities were reelected in the both the Assembly and the Senate, so we don't just stop doing our jobs.
But it's Republican lawmakers who are basically getting the attorneys lined up. They're lawyering up.
Yeah, so that's what happens when people sue the state. We have to defend ourselves, right? I mean, so would the alternative would be somebody sues the state and then the legislature just rolls over and dies and just does what?
Well, Representative Steinicke, thank you so much for being with us and getting that reaction to the State of the State.
Sure. Yep. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Jim Steinicke is a Republican state representative from the 5th Assembly District, which includes Kaukauna. He is the Assembly Majority Leader, has been since 2015. Coming up, we have reaction from Democratic Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're getting reaction from last night's State of the State address, the first one by Governor Tony Evers. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The speech was held in front of a joint session of the legislature, and it perhaps gives us more clues as to what are Governor Evers' top priorities as he prepares his first state budget. Let's bring in State Senator Jennifer Schilling for a reaction. She's a Democrat from Wisconsin's 32nd District, which includes La Crosse. She's been Senate Democratic leader since 2015. State Senator Schilling, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So what stood out to you most in Governor Evers' address last night?
What stood out to me is the continued message of the issues that he's been talking about, and it's consistent on education in this state. It's consistent on his conversations with the people of Wisconsin on affordable health care and about the challenges in infrastructure and building and maintaining safer roads and bridges, and that we need to have a long-term funding fix for that, for those areas. And so I think the governor has is continued to be consistent on really that those core values and issues that he has heard from people as he's traveled around the state, that we want to have strong schools, that we want to have affordable health care and access to health care and coverage when people need it, and the need for infrastructure improvements in Wisconsin. I think he continues to challenge the legislature that we need to get to work. It's a new day. The governor talks about connecting the dots in many areas. And I think, you know, his use of the word the people's budget, that's what he is building this budget on the values and the ideas and the vision of fellow Wisconsinites as he travels around the state and listens to them.
I was watching the body language there in the chambers. There were a number of Democratic standing ovations. I didn't count how many, but I also saw some high fives. You know, Evers discussed the importance of bipartisanship throughout the speech. Are there specific issues that you're willing to compromise on with Republicans?
Well, and really, the tone comes from the top, and yes, there will be issues to find room for compromise. But I have to remind my Republican colleagues that they don't control everything anymore, and so that they do need to come to the table and find those that common ground in those issues. And it's going to be a healthy give and take about ideas and policies moving forward. So, you know, I think I saw that there were both Republicans and Democrats that stood when the governor talked about closing the achievement gap, that is where we can find some common ground. And look at the statistics here in the state about how we can do better. He talks about entrepreneurial spirit and opportunities and small business growth here in the state and what we can do for startups. And I hope that there is common ground with my colleagues. The two-thirds commitment in education, that's an example that we've been there before. Former Governor Walker moved us back. We are moving back to that two-thirds commitment, and Governor Evers talked about that. So I hope, you know, education is a priority for both parties. We need to continue to invest. We are not back where we had been before 2011 and the budget cuts there. So I hope that we can, you know, with the governor leading in tone and by example, have a healthy, robust discussion and find common ground and compromise for Wisconsin.
Talking with Jennifer Schilling, she's a Democratic state senator from Wisconsin's 32nd district, including La Crosse. She is also the Senate minority leader. So when Evers mentioned cutting middle class taxes 10%, lawmakers on both sides of the aisle applauded, but his proposal for how to go about doing that was met with silence from Republicans. Senator Schilling, do you think Evers' plan to cap the corporate tax credit is realistic with a Republican majority legislature?
And Governor Evers talks about, you know, the way that he would like to pay for that 10% tax cut would be to make sure that we can pay for it, not by using one-time funds such as in the surplus. So the governor wants to fund that tax relief for hardworking families by capping a corporate tax credit, 80% of which goes to filers making more than $1 million a year. That's a very different method that the Republicans want to pay for by, and theirs is really a one-time use of funds. And so I think, you know, we're on the right track. We're both talking about a 10% tax credit or a tax cut. But it is the devil's always in the details. And as we look at some areas where there is disagreement, you have to put it on the table to find room for compromise and an overall picture for the budget.
You know, the words lame duck session or the laws didn't surface during the speech, but you felt that there was some nuanced things going on in the speech that referenced the lame duck laws, specifically withdrawing from the ACA lawsuit and directing Attorney General Josh Call to do that, which flies in the face of the law there. How would Evers be able to do that?
I think I was curious about that, and obviously both the governor and Attorney General Call have talked about withdrawing Wisconsin from that lawsuit. It is consistent in the position that they have had. I am curious and want to know, learn more about that, and obviously Attorney General Call will follow the law, but if there are ways that we can find a method to withdraw, we need to explore that. And this is something that has voters across the state, residents have talked about a support for the Affordable Care Act, and the governor has that opportunity to direct the attorney general to do just that. But we need to explore that in reference to Republican laws that were passed during the lame duck.
Governor Evers also talked about the problem of lead service lines throughout the state. He indicated it could cost over $2 billion to remove those lines, but didn't say he plans on doing that. Should we spend the money to deal with these lead service lines, this health crisis?
Yes, I was pleased to hear that he wants 2019 to be the year of clean drinking water in Wisconsin. And recently a study demonstrated that more than 40% of wells in southwestern Wisconsin didn't have safe drinking water. We've known in large urban areas such as Milwaukee, the lead service pipes is unhealthy for drinking water for residents there. And so I am pleased to hear the governor make it a priority of clean drinking water across the state. We've had some legislation in the past that looked to offer grants for communities for lead pipe abatement, and hopefully we can accelerate that and really look to try to address that public health issue in this budget.
Very quickly here, as we are running out of time, we've seen all of the lawsuits starting to pop up from the lame duck session laws. What do you make of these lawsuits and what they will mean for the legislature going forward?
Well, one of the earlier, one of the first lawsuits was on the early voting and curbing early voting. That was already had an opportunity in the court that was found to be unconstitutional and was cast down. Again, that was one of the first lawsuits out of the lame duck was going to court about the early voting, and again, it was cast down. So we're going to unfortunately see more of these lawsuits, and I think that the Constitution will stand, and it was a challenge to what was a power grab before the incoming Democratic administration.
In the last few seconds, it's very clear Wisconsin has a clearly divided government. Will Wisconsinites see bipartisanship in action this session?
Well, voters want us to get along. They want us to be problem solvers. They want us to tackle something, move on, and get to the next item. The governor has been consistent in the issues that he wants to tackle here in Wisconsin. And it is a new day. The governor has an administration and has talked about connecting the dots on these issues. And it does come down to legislators being able to build trust with one another and find areas that we can build on agreement together. And I hope that we can have a civil dialogue and civil disagreements, that we can agree to disagree, but also recognize that we all have a job to do here in the state.
And we'll have to
tackle these issues.
Leave it right there. State Senator Schilling, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Schilling is a Democratic state senator from the 32nd District, including La Crosse. She's also Senate Minority Leader. Earlier, we heard from Representative Jim Steinecke, and we started the hour with our own Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.